In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Every time I hear the Old Testament lesson that was read this morning, I laugh. I just have a hard time keeping a straight face to see Abraham bargaining with God. And to just see how bold and comfortable he felt in the presence of God, but also realize, well, this is God, so I can't be too arrogant about this. I need to show proper respect to the creator of the universe. So he ended up convincing God not to settle for 50 or 45 or 40 or 30 or 20, but 10 righteous people in Sodom. And if he could find 10, he would not destroy Sodom. It's really a lesson in persistence. And the lessons this morning are really on that issue of our faith journey requiring persistence from all of us. And Abraham gets an A grade in persistence, for sure. And so he would not let the discussion go, but he kept asking with confidence because he knew that God would answer. And at the same time, though, he did show the humility and respect to God. Another look at this issue of persistence is in the gospel lesson where the disciples had seen that Jesus had a very strong prayer life. He was often going off by himself and praying, and he prayed to God at his baptism. He prayed to God at the Garden of Gethsemane near the end of his ministry. And so they really wanted to learn from him, well, how should we pray? And so we ended up hearing what we know as the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. It was Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray rather than a prayer he was giving. But he immediately followed this giving of the Lord's Prayer with this story of this persistent friend who went to his friend at midnight asking for a loaf of bread so that he could show hospitality to his guest, and being very persistent. And Jesus was saying persistence is what this is about. So keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking in your relationship with God too. So it really is a story about us looking at the dimensions to this issue of persistence. How do we show persistence in our journey as people of faith, people who want to follow Jesus, who want to live into the image of Jesus? And in studies that I've done on these scripture passages, I ran across a source years ago, and I don't remember the source, or I would give them credit, but there were four dimensions that they gave to the way that we can really parse out, we can divide out and examine our own persistence of that particular piece of our faith journey. And so the first is for there to be persistence in our prayer life. And part of the issue there is, of course, prayer is the way we talk with God, God's Spirit. So we can't sit down at Mars Hill and have a cup of coffee with God and just talk about an issue. We use what we call prayer. And it's important for us to recognize that prayer involves are sometimes getting answers in completely different ways than we expected. And I gave the example at 8 o'clock. That seems like a very good way to explain it. At my previous parish, we had skylights in the ceiling, and eventually, after a bunch of years, the skylights started to leak. And so I made announcements on Sunday that we would really appreciate a special offering to help pay for the work, because it was going to be pretty expensive to actually do the repair work. And we just couldn't raise the money. And so I was praying, and the senior warden was praying, and the whole vestry was praying about how we're going to solve this. God answered the prayer. And the way God answered the prayer was, it started raining harder. And so we ended up at Sunday service, we would have these dish pans around the parish hall at the corners of the skylight to catch the raindrops. And it got raining so hard inside that people were getting wet sitting in their chairs, sitting in the pews. No problem raising the money. You know, it just worked out very, very easily after that. So God answered the prayer. Definitely not the way I expected God to answer the prayer. So we have to look for those kinds of things that God does answer in ways we don't expect. So how do you feel about the persistence in your prayer life? Well, part of what we need to also remember in prayer is it's not intended to be a monologue. And we feel like, well, there shouldn't be any quiet, so we'd better keep talking. And we'd better just add words. And maybe we can open up the prayer book and find a page-long prayer that's going to say just what we need. But a conversation with God means we're also making sure there's time to listen. And if we don't wait to listen, we're probably not going to hear, even if there is an answer. And so there is a need for us to really learn the art of sitting quietly and just enjoying the presence of God. And I brought along some show and tells here. So one of the show and tells, a book that I picked up a few years ago, is Brother Lawrence. Who was a monk in a French monastery, and he never went past being the cook. And at the same time, though, he was such a spiritually grounded person that he would have emperors and kings come visit him to find out how he could be such a spiritually centered and focused and strong person. And so he also had people he wrote letters to, and this little skinny paperback is just a collection of letters that he wrote in response to people asking him questions about his spiritual life. And the title is The Practice of the Presence of God. And so it really is it and other books we could read or conversations we could have are really about us just taking the time to say, in whatever we're doing, he did it washing dishes, to take that time washing dishes to say, where have I seen God today? What are the things that happened that couldn't have happened any other way, but God was in my day? So that's an important piece of our persistence, to be persistent in that prayer to listen. Another dimension of the four is to be persistent in our faith by following God and continuing to rely on God, even when it doesn't seem like we're getting any results from that faith journey. And an example I have in that is our memorial garden, that there was no budget for that. There was no 5-year strategic plan to accomplish a memorial garden. And we were, the three of us who started talking about that prayer garden, really were frustrated that it was difficult to get the pieces to fit together, but we also knew it was the right thing. We knew from a faith standpoint that God was really calling us to have that kind of a space on this property, that it was important to members. It was important to really have a memorial garden as part of St. Luke's heritage from now on forever. And it ended up happening. We end up having a beautiful memorial garden area. And I think that's a case of being persistent in our faith, that we really felt strongly that was the right thing to do. Okay, the third one is being persistent in study and worship. And it's so easy for our day to be filled up that there's no time to do the study and to have those personal times of worship. And but there are lots of ways. I looked last night to see if Mission St. Clair was still there. There's a missionstclair.com online that has every day that day's scripture lessons and prayers for morning prayer and evening prayer that you can just get on your phone. And wherever you are, you can just take a few minutes to actually say from our prayer book the online version of morning prayer or evening prayer. It's a great way to start the day. There's Forward Day by Day that's free for you to pick up in the parish hall. There's buying a new Bible. I've talked to a few people recently who I've just suggested getting a different translation than the translation they've read before, and getting a translation that has lots of study notes in it to give them a different perspective of the scriptures. There are also lots of books that we can read that focus on our personal worship, and that's more of my show and tell. I've got C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, which is a classic in Christian literature. There's Macrina Whitaker, who wrote A Tree Full of Angels, showing how there's proof of God's presence all around us if we take the time to look. And it's a book about her experiences of opening herself up to God and seeing God in all sorts of places that she didn't expect. Another one that I actually taught a course on before, that was about a 7 or 8 week course, is going through Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. And it's another classic, although it was only written about 30 years ago, but it's really considered a classic in Christian literature, to just look at what are the disciplines we're called to as a Christian, and how can we celebrate those disciplines? They're not hardships. They're ways for us to focus our study and our worship. I had a great conversation with James 3 or 4 weeks ago about the purpose of liturgy. You know, we are a liturgical church, and that means that we have a common format, that whenever you come in here, you know there's going to be an opening collect, there's going to be scripture readings, there's going to be a reflection on the sermons, there's going to be a confession and absolution, there's going to be a mass. And I have had people come here before from, like, the Baptist tradition that is not a liturgical church, who it drives them crazy that there's this same routine every week. But, you know, the intent, and what the conversation we got into about this was, that the intent is that we are really separating ourselves from all the stuff that's going on in our lives outside these doors, and have a routine that becomes comfortable, and we almost know it by heart. Maybe we do know it by heart. That becomes the background so that we can have another conversation going on inside us while we're here about how to really focus on the presence of God. So if we're outside, there are lots of distractions. But in here, the intent is that all these things that we're doing at the top level of singing great songs and saying prayers that we're familiar with is to have that other conversation going on about the focus of our faith life. The fourth one, the last one that I wanted to share with you, is persistence in really determining and following a rule of life. And it took me a long time to solve the mystery of that, because I kept asking different people and I got different answers what a rule of life is. And so I figured out that it was a secret, and you had to belong to a secret society, and then they would tell you what a rule of life really is, because I really wanted one, because I figured when I had one, that means God's just going to come invade me with such power that, you know, I'll glow in the dark, and that would be a cool thing. And what I found out was the reason the answer was different is everybody determines their own rule of life, because the purpose of, and it also changes, is not the same forever. You change the rule of life. When it gets boring, you change it. And the purpose of a rule of life is to say, what is the way I can structure my life so that I can be open to God more than I am? And so, as examples, St. Benedict, the Benedictines, their rule of life is to schedule their day, every day, prayer, spiritual reading, work, eat, sleep. Those five things. That's their rule of life, to keep that balance. In Crucio, when we make that 3.5-day weekend, rule of life is piety, study, and action. And there are talks on that and lots of conversations about it for us to really understand how to do piety, study, and action as our rule of life. For a purpose-driven church, if you've ever read that book, Having a Purpose-Driven Life, the whole discussion there is having a rule of life to say, as a community, we have these five things. As an individual, I have these five things that I keep in balance of having worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. Those five things that I keep in balance. I don't just go to the ones I like or I'm comfortable with, but I balance all five of them. These are just great ways for us to structure our life, to be persistent, to keep at it. So Paul wrote to the Colossians, as you have received Christ Jesus, continue to live your lives in him. Live your lives in him. So it's not just about believing in him. It's living our lives in him. And we do that through this persistence in our prayer, in our faith, in our study and worship, and in our living by a rule of life. I encourage you to reflect on those four things and to think about whether you spend time building them into your daily routine. Abraham showed it works well. Jesus showed it works well. And centuries of Christians have shown it works well to be deliberate about that persistence in our worship of our God.